Alright guys, welcome to episode 120 of the PS3 Blockcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Miss Zaya.
Hello.
And here we are. We were off last week. Zaya was busy and Isley was deathly ill.
Oh no!
I'm still pretty sick.
Still pretty sick? Oh, you got poisoned by the enemy.
Maybe.
Maybe. That like, could have happened. Some spy agency trying to take you out.
I think I got sick from the frustration of trying to do a no-death run on Dark Souls.
Fuck that.
That would be really, really tough.
Well, there is an award for it. You get a ring that makes your weapon invisible. And I'm a completionist, and it drives me crazy doing this, so I think that's what made me sick.
You'd have to take it really, really slow. Like that game. Like, I suppose you could, if you had someone, like, go along and you can summon them all along the way, and, like, they can just kind of help you, but the worst part about summoning that game
is that I'm playing offline.
Oh, offline.
I'm not risking invasions.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, just go offline when you get to the belfries, you know? That's the only place you got to worry about. I never had anybody, like, invade me, well, the Rat Covenant, but I've never had anybody, like, invade me. The other manners, you know, using a red-eyed cracked orb. But then again, I didn't do anything bad. Or is it the blue eye one that does the... One of them does you invade the guilty, and the other one just lets you invade anyone, right? Like the blue or cracked orb and the red cracked orb?
I don't know. I honestly never actually invaded people.
Yeah, I didn't invade anybody either. But one of them like lets you invade a guilty player. It's like someone who constantly kills other players for no reason at all, or pulls them into their game. You get pulled into their world and you can kill them, like a bounty is on their head. But anyways, let's go ahead and jump to the news. I said not a lot happened last week, so we won't really be covering too much. I mean, there was some things, but we'll get into those. Let's start with new releases. Not much this week. Octodad finally came out on PS4. So did Cell Damage HD. Which also came out on PS3, with Soul Calibur, Lost Swords for free, and Defense Technica. Vita got Cell Damage, Demon Gaze, Starlight Inception, and The Walking Dead, The Game, Season 2, Episode 1. PlayStation Plus discounts on Batman Arkham Asylum, Arkham Origins Blackgate, Injustice Gods Among Us Ultimate Edition, Mortal Kombat vs. DC Universe, Octodad, and Pixel Junk Monsters Ultimate HD, also Lego Batman 2, and that's basically it, just not a lot of DLC, except for Batman Arkham Origins as a Cold Cold Heart for $10, and a couple things on Vita. Picked up Octodad, that game is ridiculous, but it's so fun.
I honestly don't get the appeal behind it. I watched some videos of it online, and the one video I watched was like them in a grocery store trying to pick up some groceries for like half an hour.
Yeah, watching people play it like isn't nearly as fun as playing it yourself. It's like one of those games like, I guess this is fun, would be fun, like watching someone. But when you play it yourself, it's pretty fun just to see how wacky the controls actually are. Like when I watch the video stuff, I'm like, man, these people must be really, really bad. And then I play it, I'm like, okay, I understand now. It's just really, really tough. But
it on fun. Like I honestly don't get the appeal behind it. It looks like the most slow-paced game in existence ever.
We can move, actually. I was moving pretty quick through the first couple of, once I got the hang of it at the beginning, and then like I guess the second level, I was moving pretty fast. I can get him to move really quick across the room. Unless his tentacle gets stuck on something. And then I finished the objectives real quickly. But
is the gimmick just the weird controls?
It's essentially, yeah, the control screen. The control scheme is like one of the things. And then also there's a meter to where you can't give away the fact that you're an octopus. So the more you flub around and knock stuff over and fail, it fills up a meter because people are watching you. And the more you screw up, the more that meter fills, and it fills up too much, then they realize what's going on. So it's like you're trying to not make mistakes so people don't figure out who you are, like who you really are. So it adds kind of fun little thing. There's a part when the beginning, like, it essentially starts with a wedding, and you're trying to go down the aisle, and there's these little pillars down going down the aisle on each side, and the aisle is very narrow, and I was like trying not to knock them over, and you're just hitting every other one. It's like, oh man, everybody's watching you because you're the groom. And it was pretty stressful, but it was fun. And then in the house with the family was fun too, but like I said, I haven't got that far. The co-op seems like it'd be pretty fun because you each control half the limbs. So some does the left side, one does the right side, and you have to work together. It sounds awesome.
That sounds like one of the most frustrating things ever.
Oh, okay, it sounds great.
You control this half of a character, and I'll control the other half, and we'll see
it's
how
great.
It goes.
No, it's great.
I want to do it so bad. I gotta get that done and just record it. But yeah, it's a fun, silly game. I look forward to playing more of it. Jumping over to other news. Let's see here. More bad news for Naughty Dog. As everybody knows, Nate Wells, the art director at Naughty Dog, left, and he's now working at Giant Sparrow, the guys who did Unfinished Swan.
Which I think is actually fantastic news because I loved Unfinished Swan.
Yeah, it was good, and they still have two more PlayStation exclusive titles that they have to create under their contract that they have. And I didn't finish the Unfinished Swan, but I got basically to the end of it, and that was a great game.
How could you not finish it?
Well, because I'd play like little bits of it, and I was playing other games that were out, so I'd kind of play them in between. And
back and finish that.
I'm like right at the end of it. I did essentially all of it, just not the very last section. But yeah, that game was really fun. A lot of fun mechanics in the game, and I look forward to see what they do next. So he left. And then also Todd Stashwick, the guy who was cast as the villain in the new Uncharted game, he was the voiceover on the teaser trailer. He's been recast because, of course,
isn't necessarily bad news.
Yeah, because he got recently hired as co-writer on the unannounced Starworks project at Visceral Games. A little while after Amy Hennig, of course, went over there to direct the game or to work on it. It's interesting that they...
My impression, though, was he was recast because they didn't think he fit the position anymore, not because he moved to a new job.
6 months, I mean, you know, he'd been working there for, let's see, he'd been involved with the game for the last 6 months, so you figure you can do a lot of motion capture and recording, I suppose, for a game in 6 months. And that's a lot of work to go back and redo, I would think. But who knows? I mean, obviously, we haven't seen anything, and it'd be interesting to see who they change. It kind of sucks that they did that teaser trailer at the PS4 launch. Like, if that didn't happen, none of this news would really be, you know, as big as everybody's making it. They'd be like, oh, you know, just a shuffle going on without it having a game announced. Mm-hmm. But, I mean,
I honestly think the only reason people are commenting on it so much is just it's Naughty Dog and they're wanting them to get knocked down a notch because they've released so many good games. Everyone's like, oh, you know, studio's falling apart. Huge news.
I suppose. I'm still confident in the game and it'll be interesting to see. I wish I could see, like, when the game comes out, if they had a behind the scenes where they showed the early stuff of what it was before everybody left, and then like the
I don't think it's going to affect them at all.
No, but you lost a lot of big people there. Nate Wells, and then you lose Amy Hennig, and who's the other guy that left? The guy that works with her on Uncharted, who was the game director essentially. I can't remember his name now because we reported on a while back, but you lose him. And I'm sure the game will turn out really well. I mean, obviously, you have a history of three games, and everybody basically knows the characters and where they go. It's just, and I'm sure they already have a roadmap for the story to begin with that they probably laid out, so they know where it's going to go and what they need to do, I'm sure. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with the game and if they show it at E3. But there's a lot to happen. But yeah, so we'll see what happens there. Sony has said that the PS4 has sold over 7 million units,
which is astronomical.
Yeah, that is a lot. Yeah, so I listen to a lot of other podcasts. I listen to, like, the Game Informer podcast, GameSpot Gameplay, Podcast Beyond, GameScoop. Who's the other one I really like? Radio Radar. That's a really funny podcast. Like, I listen to all these podcasts, and the problem I have with them is that they always say, like, oh, they report on the news, like, it sold, and it's like, I'm surprised it sold 7 million units with not that many, you know, big titles. Like, they go, oh, Infamous came out. But maybe it's just me, but I feel like when it launched with some pretty good third-party support. Like, I mean, obviously the disparity between the PS3 and the PS4 version of Call of Duty Ghost was basically nothing. But the difference between Battlefield 4 on PS3 and PS4 was huge. So I feel like when you got the game at launch, if you like first-person shooters, you got Battlefield 4. Granted, it had some problems at launch, but it was still a really fun game and extremely different than the PS3 version. And that's a game I play a lot. Same with Assassin's Creed. Like, I bought it and I got Assassin's Creed 4 and Battlefield 4 and Killzone, and I enjoy playing Assassin's Creed a lot on the console. It's not like, oh, they bought these and there's nothing to play on it. It's like, there's these games to play. You're just ignoring them because maybe some of them came out in the last console.
But I mean, I talked to you about this earlier on one of the podcasts on how I canceled my PS4 order because there wasn't that like one big game that I wanted to get on it. There were no exclusive games where I went, I have to get a PS4 for this.
Yeah, yeah. Which
everything
makes sense.
Was you either on a different system or on the PS3.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's fine. I'm not including you in the 7 million people that purchased, you know, consoles. But these people that bought them, it's like clearly there's games that they wanted to play. They didn't just buy them on the hopes of games. Like, I wouldn't go out and just buy a console and be like, oh, well, I hope something comes down the road. It's not like a Wii U, you know. Well, I hope something comes out for this in a couple of years. It's like they bought it because clearly there was something on it they wanted to play. And just people that ignore the fact that, hey, there are these games that probably appeal to other people. Like, I know a lot of people who are glad they waited to play Assassin's Creed on PS4 versus PS3. It's like, yeah, it's not a huge leap, but it does look better and it plays better. And it's really fun. So I
do agree there haven't been any huge system sellers, but yeah, there are a lot of games for the PS4.
I disagree with their assessment. Yeah. It's like, oh, there's only Infamous. It's like, well, I really enjoyed these other games that were on the console. It's not like just about the first party titles. I enjoy the third party titles that are on there as well. But it's like, why the hell would I buy Battlefield and PS3 versus PS4? It's like, I'm gonna get the better version. I want the better version.
I mean, if Battlefield wasn't the best when it launched,
yeah,
I would have bought a PS4 for it.
Yeah.
Well, 360, it sucks, apparently.
But let's see here. That's compared to the 5 million that Xbox has shipped. Microsoft has shipped. So they haven't sold 5 million, but they shipped 5 million. They probably sold about 4.5 million. Which is still a good amount. I mean, they're both doing very well.
Better than I thought they would do.
Hmm?
Better than I thought they would do.
Yeah, well, everybody was harping that, you know, consoles are dead because the Vita didn't do well and the Wii U didn't do well. And it was like, oh, nothing. Not that Vita's a, you know, console, it's a handheld. But they're like, oh, people don't want these things. They don't want them. They don't want them. It's like, well, this is now one of the fastest selling consoles, you know. But... yeah, it's pretty nuts. Like, but it's good to see that they're both doing really well. Colin Moriarty wrote a really good editorial on IGN about the PS4 is currently winning the console war, but what's next? And it's, I know the title makes it sound like it's one-sided, but it's a really good article. It actually did really well on the site too. A lot of people comment on it and reading it, but it was a good article to read on it. It's basically what's next and how Xbox can still easily catch up and everything. It's not like they're crazy behind, but
I think it's going to be just like the PS3 and the Xbox 360, where, you know, the PS3 was behind at launch, but now they're basically the exact same. I mean, I don't think there's going to be that much of a disparity between the consoles when they're getting most of the same games and they offer very similar features.
Yeah, down the line, of course, it'll it'll most likely even out. But it's interesting to see, you know, the difference right now, currently. Especially because Titanfall didn't push as many Xbox sales that I guess they thought it would, despite the discount that they put on the Xbox One when the game was bundled with it. But we'll see what happens at E3.
I think it was because people were hoping Titanfall was going to be, you know, the end-all, be-all shooter. And while it was really good, it didn't turn out to be, you know, the perfect masterpiece a lot of people thought it would be. I think it was way too overhyped.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's kind of how I felt too. Like, even if it was on PS4, I wasn't really interested in that kind of I always considered that kind of fast-paced gameplay more like the arcade style of a first-person shooter, like just like Call of Duty. I mean, granted, I was thinking about Call of Duty 4 back when it launched, and it's like I had a ton of fun playing that game. I really enjoyed Call of Duty 4 back in the day, and I wish I had more people that played it when I played it. But that's not what I want now. It's like now I'm more into like the Battlefield style where there's more objectives and it's not as crazy. Like it can be crazy in Conquest, of course, with all the vehicles, but it's not as arcadey, I suppose. I'm curious to see what the sales numbers are on the 360 for Titanfall. But we'll have to wait till the end of April, I guess, to get the NPD report.
But, have you played Titanfall?
No.
Like on the PC at all? Okay. I mean, it is a really fun game.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
It's just, I don't know. In my opinion, they just screwed too many things up with it. Like adding bots into the matches instead of people. It was all those little things that caused it to just kind of, instead of being a masterpiece, it's just an awesome game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good game.
Yeah. Mad Max got delayed to 2015, for those of you who are waiting for it. Apparently there's a new trailer, the Magnum Opus trailer, but I didn't watch it yet. It was a gameplay trailer. It's by Avalanche Studios, and we'll see what happens there. Wasn't really, you know, waiting patiently for a new Mad Max game. But we'll see what happens when it comes out. DICE apparently made a move to fix the rubber banding issues that are on the console versions of Battlefield 4. I guess every version, I suppose. But I know some people have some really big issues with Battlefield 4 on PS4. I think mainly on Conquest on certain maps. And I saw some really bad rubber banding from someone had. Back on Easter, they posted a video of it, and it was really funny. But they introduced some new high-performance servers to help tackle the rubber banding issues on the back end. I never experienced any huge issues on that. There was only a couple of maps, the original launch maps, only a few of them when you played Conquest that I had some issues every now and then. And then I remember when they did the test server, the stress test server, but that server was based in Europe, so when I played that, I had a lot of issues on it. But yeah, I look at these issues that people post on like the Battlefield 4 subreddit, and they'll show some crazy bugs that are happening. A lot of them I've never actually experienced, but I understand that they obviously need to be fixed. I haven't played the game in a while, so I don't know how well these new servers are going to stack up. I'll probably play at some point, but it's good to see that at least they're still focusing on trying to fix these issues that some players are having. Let's see. The 1.7 update, which is a massive update coming to PS4. I think we talked about it. I know we didn't talk about it because we were talking about it last week. But it introduces a new Share Factory feature. It's a video editing program on the console itself where you can combine clips, add VO. I think pictures, kind of to make it more on par with, I guess, what Xbox One does with their share functionality. And it also adds these transitions. And the transitions they showed seemed like they were very infamous Second Son themed, which are actually kind of cool, but we'll see what happens. You can also, not only can you make like a compilation of clips, but you can export your video clips now to USB drives, so you can take it on your computer and do editing on there if you want, or if you finish a video, you can load it to a USB drive and then load it up to YouTube through your computer, since that YouTube functionality hasn't been brought to the PS4 yet. HDCP will also be removed. You can turn that off, so that'll be good, so you can capture with a capture device on your computer, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm curious to see how much better the quality will be from the capture device versus the video quality that comes out of the PS4. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I saw, speaking of updates, the infamous Second Son update that came out a while back that introduced the photo mode, which essentially is because people wanted to have the option to remove the HUD so they could take screenshots without all that overlay. And they also wanted to be able to change the time of day after you beat the game, because when you beat the game, depending on your karmic level, would be what the weather was. So if you're good, it'd be kind of sunny and light out, it'd be like the hero weather. And then if you were bad, it would be very dark and cloudy and I think rainy. But now you have the option to change the weather anytime you want. But the photo mode they introduced is pretty awesome. And I'm sure you've seen probably a ton of the screenshots that people posted.
But yeah,
they're really good.
I honestly haven't seen any.
Oh, you haven't? No. Oh, man. Go to, like, the PS4 subreddit, and there's just people that post, like, I think someone on an article, I think it was, someone posted an article, you can probably look it up, as like, the best Second Son screenshots, and it's just a compilation from, like, a NeoGAF thread, where people just post these screenshots they posted of Infamous Second Son, and they're really good. When it first came out, I tried to go in the game, and I tried to cam my own shots, and I was like, oh man, there's too many options and so much freedom, I have no idea what I'm going to do. It's like I spent time trying to do stuff, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to do here. I have too much. It's kind of like when Far Cry 2 came out, and they had the map maker, and you could just create anything. Like, it wasn't like, you just had so much control in the map maker that I felt powerless with so much freedom. I was like, oh, I have no idea what to make now, because I have too many options to do everything. But that was really tough. Which sucks. I remember playing Time Splitters back in the day, and just making maps in that game was, I used to do it all the time. Granted, it was with preset pieces that you put together. They gave you building blocks, and you just put them next to each other and design the map and layout like a floor plan. And that was easier because I was more restricted. But it's like, they give you freedom. Even in Far Cry 3, I tried making some maps, and I was like, oh, this is tough. But I probably would have stuck it more and like actually made some if I knew people that played more of the online multiplayer. I mean, I played some of it and it was fun. It wasn't as polished as the single player though, but yeah, if more people played it, like I played with some more friends and stuff, I guess I would have made more maps. But I do like map makers are always really fun to mess around with. Kind of like when it was like Little Big Planet came out, and I tried making a map, and it was like, oh, this map is awesome when I'm making it. When I play it, I'm like, this map isn't as great as I thought it was.
Big Planet, there were some people that just like blew everyone else away.
Yeah, that was the problem. Yeah. It's like, you might as well just search for the best maps or levels and play those. And those people spend a lot of time doing that. But that had a huge community, so. I don't even think I ever made any user-generated content in Infamous 2. And that was basically...
That did have user-generated content.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot it actually had that feature.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool, because you can do some pretty fun stuff. And the good thing about that is that it wouldn't publish the UGC unless it was completable. Like, you had to play it first. You had to complete it before you can publish it. So it's like a way to, you know... QA it. So like, oh, you know, you can't actually complete this, so you can't upload it, so people don't play some broken mission. But
yeah,
which is fine, because they kind of have a similar feature, the way they handled it in Infamous 2 in Time Splitters, where you can create story missions. So you can create AI patterns, spawn patterns on certain objectives being met, items spawning in, events happening. It was really fun. I used to make a bunch of single player missions on Time Splitters back in the day. And that was on PS2. But so I'm looking for this update. It's supposed to be coming out. In Europe, it's arriving on April 30th, which means it should be arriving in the U.S. fairly soon. Man, I don't know what's going on. Do any of you use Twitter on your phone?
Yeah.
I do not.
Okay. I don't know why, but sometimes Twitter sends me push notifications when people retweet other people that has nothing to do with anything that I ever did.
Yes, like it just, I hate that.
It doesn't do it all the time. It's just random. But it just told me someone, it's all, oh, Lynchtacular retweeted, or in Game Over Grady retweeted Alien Isolation's tweet. And it's like, but I wasn't involved with that. like, I don't mind if I favorite something or I tweet something and someone retweets it or tweets at me or favorites my tweet. Tell me that. That's fine. Don't tell me something that I had no interaction with. It's weird.
I'll get ones that are like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. I'll get ones that are like, this account and this account followed this other account. I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to follow that other account. If I wanted to follow them, I would follow them already.
Yeah, I don't get those. I just get these random, it's like once a week I get, oh, hey, someone retweet someone. Although, it was funny, I was watching the news yesterday, and there's this guy, he was at the Oakland Oracle Coliseum, I believe, and O.co, Overstock.com, was doing a free medical thing, free Medicare, where people will, like, line up, and they give them free, like, checkups and exams and all that stuff who don't have medical coverage. And they had a reporter down there, Alex Savage from KTVU, Channel 2 News, and he was down there reporting on it. So they walk inside, they got the cameraman, he's in there, and he's talking about it, you know, telling about this great thing that this company's doing. And then he's standing there at the end giving the outro. And then there's a lady that's standing behind him who's looking at someone off the camera, and then she turns as he's given his, you know, closing line, and she whispers something to him, but he doesn't skip a beat, like it doesn't faze him, so he keeps on talking. And then he goes, okay, back to you at the desk. And then it takes a few seconds before they finally cut back, and at the last second you see him turn around to face the lady. And I was like, oh man, I need to know what she said. So I tweeted at him, I was like, I have to know what that lady said that whispered to you, what'd she say? And he's all like, you know what, she was actually asking me to use my, quote, inside voice. She was trying to listen to someone speaking. I was like, really? Just like, hey, I'm sorry that you're reporting on the news of this great thing that this group is doing, but could you please do it a little quieter? I'm trying to listen to someone talk.
What the fuck?
I know. It's like, like, I'm used to people shouting, like, when they report at, like, sports events, like, ooh, yeah, number one, like, shit like that. But, like, to tell someone, hey, can you keep it down?
I'm trying to have a conversation here. Can you keep your news quiet, please?
And it's like, she was standing right next to him. It's like, and when he panned the room, like the cameraman had panned the room before it cut back to him, there was plenty of space. Like, she could have walked over closer to the person she wanted to listen to. But no, this lady had to be like, I'm going to stand right next to the cameraman so I can be in the camera shot. And I'm going to tell the guy, hey, keep it down. But here's what it is.
Wow.
But, yeah. Anyway, that little tangent. Back to the news.
Sometimes people are hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, like, man. They're entitled. They, you know what?
Yeah.
I have something to say, and you have to listen to me. I just thought it was great that he didn't get phased. I was like, good job. But
he don't care.
He's like, I got this. So the Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes platform exclusive DLC will be getting released to everybody. So if you're an Xbox gamer, you'll get the Deja Vu mission, and you're if a PS3, PS4 gamer, you'll get the Yamevu mission as well. You still have to unlock them, just like you normally would, but it's free DLC. I think it's coming out on, it says available May 1st in Japan. I don't see, where's the release date for America? I don't see the American release, but it should be sometime. I'm assuming to be around the same time, so.
It's usually like a day or two after, if they don't specify a date.
Yeah, I just unlocked the Deja Vu mission the other day on Ground Zeroes, and I was playing through that. It's funny, like the way they do it. You go in there, and they kind of like, you have these objectives you have to do, where you have to essentially line up, get the right angle, and line up these certain objectives. And like, one is like, you have to, it shows like, you have to find these locations. It's a helicopter with two soldiers, and one's like snake in a jeep, and then the other one's like a burning truck and a dying soldier. And so you have to recreate these scenes, and then it flashes back to the moment that it happened in Metal Gear Solid. So one's like, it shows a camera with a green light, and you kind of have to cam the game just right so it looks like it. So you find the corner, you lean against the wall, look at the camera, and then that triggers the objective, saying, oh, you recreated this scene from the original Metal Gear Solid. And but as you're running around, like, the whole level, it's a giant Easter egg. So there's these like tags on the wall that'll say like Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake, and like you highlight them, you look at them through your binoculars, and you hit L1 because that does the codec back to Coz Miller, and he'll tell you something about whatever you're looking at. So you look at those, and he'll tell you about the game and stuff, and then randomly he'll start quoting lines from Metal Gear Solid. And it's so, but he doesn't, the actor does them in a way where he tries to imitate like Colonel Campbell or Psycho Mantis or Liquid Snake. Like, and it's really funny to hear just randomly. And it's pretty fun. I haven't finished all of the objectives, but it's really fun. Man, I can't wait for Phantom Pain to come out. That game, so fun to play.
Phantom Pain is like the full version, right?
Yeah, Phantom Pain is the full version.
Is it going to have this prequel in it?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't see why they would charge now and free later, make it free later, but I don't think it will. I think it'll be, I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll do something, it'll be so far down the line. Like, I can see, I guess, if it doesn't come out for like a year and a half, that if you pre-ordered, you got it, I suppose. Because that would, to me, that would make sense. Like, if you want to play a chunk of this game a year and a half early, you pay some fee. I mean, it's, you're basically paying for like games that have early access, or you can pay to be in the alpha, you know, for early access. And then when the game comes out, it's usually cheaper, or, you know, whatever. Like, if you want to play part of this now, pay this amount, and then a year and a half down the line, it'll be free as a pre-order bonus or something. I could see maybe they'll do something like that, but who knows? Because it'll probably be a ways off before Phantom Pain actually comes out.
Maybe they'll do like a collector's edition or something, where you can get both of them.
I suppose, yeah, they could do something like that. I just really hope it doesn't take that long for the game to get released.
Yeah. I really want to play it.
But let's see here. Yeah, it sucks. I guess like there's a scene in the game. It's like the first objective you do, you go find Chico. And I guess the scene when you find him plays out differently depending on how you played up prior to that. Like, there's all these other POWs in the area, and you can rescue them and send them back to Mother Base. I know they said that's going to be a thing where if you return all the soldiers that are on that compound, all the American soldiers, and all the POWs back to Mother Base, that save data goes over to ground to a Phantom Pain as soldiers you can use in your army, kind of like how it worked in Peace Walker, and you know, where you can send out your little side op missions and you can get soldiers for your army. They'll be part of that. But there's a scene where you rescue Chico, and the first time I did it, I just went straight for him, and the scene plays out one way, kind of rough, I guess. But if you save all the other guys, all the other POWs first, and then you go save Chico, I guess it plays out entirely different. But the second time I did it, when I was going to beat to get all the badges to unlock the Deja Vu mission, I forgot about that, so I didn't play it that way. So I need to go back and find out how differently it plays out if I save everybody else first and then get Chico. Maybe he's a little more cooperative. But yeah, man, that game looks gorgeous. Let's see here. Yeah, I don't have any more tabs open. Okay, oh, that's what it was. I don't know if any of you saw it, but they posted a Watch Dogs multiplayer trailer showing all the different types of multiplayer in the game.
I didn't watch it. I wanted to, but I didn't get to.
Yeah, I'm guessing you didn't watch it, Izzy.
I did not, but I need to go watch it now because I'm super excited for Watch Dogs.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. It comes out really soon, too. But, yeah, there's essentially three different types. There's one, they showed the primary one, the one where you can team up with a group of people to, like, go, you're like, it's like four of you. You get together, and it's funny because when you play, you look like Aiden Pierce and everybody else looks like NPCs. But every person that's playing, their character looks like Aiden and the other characters look like NPCs. So that's kind of the way they work it out, so you're not all Aiden Pierce, obviously. And you get your little group together. It was like a 4v4 kind of thing. And you were trying to, and this is the thing, I'm not sure how this part of the multiplayer is activated. Like, they tell you how the other two are, and I'll get to those in a sec, but this one, just kind of, they show that you meet up with some friends, and you're trying to hack this data out of something. So you essentially, both teams assault this warehouse, and everybody can hack the environment. It's like he hacks a forklift to drop down a pallet to give him more cover, and he can raise up these little flaps to give more cover and stuff. And you essentially, they get the data they need. They're hacking it, and you hack faster when you're hanging out in a closer area with all your team. Yeah, it hacks the data faster. And then they all hop into a truck, and they drive away, and the other team's chasing them, and you can still hack the environment, but it doesn't do the bullet time like it does in single player if you're on the move. It's all super fast and happening. And you're chasing down and just trying to get it. And that seemed interesting. Might not do that as much. But then the third one they showed was how it interacts with the iPad, like the mobile version, when people challenge you there. And that's essentially, they find a player, they challenge them to a race, is basically what it is, where you have to get from point A to point B. But they control the city, so they can set the police on you, they can burst steam pipes, they can change bridges, they can raise barricades, they can do whatever they want, and they're trying to stop you from getting to the objective.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds kind of awesome. Yeah, I was like, I was curious how it was going to work with the iPad, and like the way it looks on the iPad, like the city layout, it's a giant blueprint, and you can just click and highlight stuff, you spawn the cops in, you do everything, and that seemed fun. But it was the first one they showed, when you're playing through the single player campaign by yourself, it's essentially kind of like Dark Souls, where you walk around, and the way he showed it, he introduced it, is he walks up to some NPCs, and then one of the NPCs in an area will have, like, you know how you highlight them in the previews of the game, and it shows, like, their information, like, you know, war veteran, makes no money, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. One of the NPCs will say, private contract, and it's, I think it's, like, blue text, so you know it's special, and you click on them, and they basically hire you to hack someone else, and the other person you're hacking is another player. So while the guy's playing as Aiden Pierce and showing you how this works, he starts getting hacked by another player. So they have another guy who's working at Ubisoft who came in there. Actually, a guy who worked on Assassin's Creed came in there to demo it for him. And the way it works is you both are in the same area, I guess, or you kind of have to go to him. And what you do is you walk around, and then in the other person's game, you just look like an NPC, of course. But in your screen, you look like Aiden Pierce. And they, of course, look like an NPC. So you walk in, you have to identify the target first. And then once you identify them, you then start hacking them. But it only is in within a certain area. So on the map, you see it, like, when he's standing there, there's, like, this, I think it's, like, a blue circle on the map. And the person who's in there has to be within that area. So he's trying to figure out who's hacking him. And so the guy who's playing Aiden who gets hacked, he's, like, he pulls out his gun and he fires it into the air to scare all the NPCs away. And he's trying to see who doesn't run, because obviously the other player's not going to run away because he's trying to hack him. And he can't find him at first because the guy's hiding in this like taco truck on the corner. And then he ends up identifying him before the hack can finish. And then they get into a race. And now he has to chase the other guy down and kill him before he gets away. But the guy ends up getting away. And even though he didn't complete the hack, the guy who did it still gets some credits for it. And then the guy who got hacked still gets credits for identifying the target, and you can use those credits to help unlock your skill tree. But they said the way...
So is there a downside for it? Like, is it just you lose money if you get hacked?
I don't know what happens if you get hacked. I think you just don't... The other guy gets a lot of credits, I guess. And I don't know if you lose your money. Like, it didn't... They didn't say what would happen. They just showed how it worked, you know, in a way. They didn't say, like, oh, if he hacks your information... Maybe he did, and I'll have to go back and watch it. But I was too busy focused on what was happening at the time. But the game kind of learns, like, you can play the game offline, obviously, but if you play it online and you don't really want to do this all the time, I forget, they explain it, but essentially if you're not interested in that mechanic, the game will learn it by, there's like a way you do it that kind of lets you, you know, ignore the thing, to where it will decrease the frequency at which those happens, the invasions essentially happen. But if you like doing those and the game sees that, it'll kind of increase it a little bit, so it happens a little more frequently. But yeah, if you watch the video, it seems really cool. I like that whole, just because it's the whole Dark Souls kind of a thing where you get invaded, but it doesn't tell you until the hack starts, and you have to figure out, okay, who is the person hacking me and where are they, and I need to stop them. And it seemed kind of cool. And then you can end in like a chase, a high speed chase, and you can both, I think you both can still hack the environment in the why one person's chasing the other person down. But yeah, you should watch it.
Sounds like a pretty cool co-op system. I'll have to check it out now.
It's like a 9-minute video.
Kind of has me even more interested in the game.
Yeah, it was really cool. But yeah, that was interesting. I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I don't know what else news-wise. I think that's basically it. What have you been playing recently, Isley?
Mostly Dark Souls 2.
Just Dark Souls 2 still?
Yeah, trying to get my ring unsuccessfully. Yeah. And then I'm waiting for Watch Dogs and Destiny. Which Destiny's I'm excited ahead. About both of them a ton.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to both of them for sure. Destiny's going to be great. I'm curious how long that game will take to finish, like, campaign-wise.
I guess it depends on if they make it MMO style, so it's like a huge thing, or if they make it more single player.
Well, I know they said you can basically do most of it by yourself, but there are some things I think you have to have other people help you on. I tried not to watch all the, previews of it because I'm excited for the game already, so I don't really want to keep watching stuff. I kind of would be surprised. Same with kind of Watch Dogs. I don't want to keep watching stuff for it because I'm going to get it. But I wanted to watch that multiplayer thing because I hadn't seen any, because I wanted to see what it was going to be, how it was going to play out. So I watched that video. But yeah, I definitely look forward to Destiny as well. What about you, Zaya?
I mean, the only other huge game I'm excited about is Alien Isolation.
Yeah. IGN just posted a video where a bunch of the IGN editors and staff played essentially that first demo part that they showed, and that was really funny. Yeah. I like that they do those. They did that for Outlast as well, back before Outlast came out. I know Destin Legere has been playing Daylight. I haven't watched any of those videos yet, but Daylight's that procedurally generated one that's going to be coming out on PS4 pretty soon, I think. Yeah, looking forward to that one as well. But yeah, Alien Isolation looks like it's going to be really good. What have you been playing, Zaya?
Mostly just 14. I've been really busy last couple weeks, and I was sick last week, so I didn't really feel like playing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing on my DS. I played playing the Disney game, I'm not gonna lie. It's fun though.
What Disney game?
It's called Disney Magical World.
Oh my god.
It's like it's like Harvest Moon and Animal Crossing and Disney.
Sounds like everything you want.
Pretty much, yeah. It's really addicting. It's good for like laying in bed when you're miserable and just playing it.
Yeah. It sounds like they custom made that game for you.
It feels like it. Like if Animal Crossing had like some of these things in it, it would be the perfect game.
I don't see you on FF that often. I saw you on FF the other day, but that was basically it.
Yeah, there was some like drama crap going on, and I just was too sick to deal with it. So I was like, I just don't want to be
gotta
on
join
it.
Us. Join our group.
Drama in an MMO? No way.
Yeah, I was like, I'm too old for this shit. I'm gonna go lay in bed.
You should join my free company in our link shell and just run with us. No drama.
Ugh, I thought about it. But we're good now, so I just need to actually get my ass online and do things.
Yeah, I finally finished this story.
What's that?
Who caused the drama?
Oh, somebody in our raid group. I sort of propagated it because I called them out on their crap, but what could you do?
I knew it.
Hey, calling someone out on the crap.
I'm
that's
too
not
old to deal with this crap. Like, let's just play the freaking game. I want to get done.
Yeah, exactly. We have a guy in our link shell who's basically like, he's like, no, this non-drama free company and non-drama link shell, we just have some fun. Which is great. Yeah. I finally started my Relic quest, but I got to do the Chimera fight. But I got to get my eye level up because I don't do anything really. So, and then everybody's telling us like, I was like, okay, well, I just have my AF, and that's it. And the Grand Company or the Champion's Lance or whatever. So I'm like, that's the highest eye level item I have. I'm like, should I get the Grand Company gear to raise my level, or should I just skip that and go for something else? And like, oh, you should do Crystal Tower. And I'm like, and get a bunch of, it was like I-70 gear or something, or I-80 gear. And I was like, so I'd be just this I-50 guy running around just to get gear. And I was like, I don't know if I want to run with a bunch of other people just to low-level crap to farm high-level crap.
Crystal Tower, like, I don't think anybody really does it very much, because I always have it queued up when I'm doing other stuff, and it never procs.
I know.
I think I've done Crystal Tower like once.
A lot of people do it on here mainly to spirit bind like junk gear so they can convert it.
That's true.
But that's what I do.
Man, I was trying to, you know, I had to get the Savage Aim 3 material so I can start my relic weapon. And I was like, I had one already. And I was like, okay, well, let's look at my gear, see what I have that's spirit bound and high level. And I was like, okay, I got a lot of pieces. And I'm like, okay, I'll just convert all of these and hopefully I'll get my second one. That way I don't have to buy it off the auction house. I just didn't want to spend 30K. And I start converting stuff and it's like, oh, you get this rank 3 materia, this rank 3. It was like everything else, but not what I needed. And I was so mad. I was like, come on. God damn it.
Well, you probably made enough money to just buy it now.
No, because yeah. All the stuff it made didn't sell that well. Like, I put it up on auction, but a lot of the stuff it made was like only like 10K and 9K, maybe 15K and 6K, but a lot of it was low. I have a Heaven's Aim 4 material, which is like 110. I don't know what I got that from, but I'm going to hang on to it for now. I mean, I don't really want to sell it because I don't need to buy anything really. I mean, I bought the other, I had money to buy the other material. I just didn't want to, but I bought it anyways. But yeah, I don't want to sell that other material because I figured, oh, I'll just hang on to it just in case I want the accuracy material later. There's no point in selling now. Or I'll wait till the price goes way up or something. I was trying to figure out why Dynamite Webs and Dewthread were so damn cheap now. And then I was running around Fallguard Throat. Float. That's to the west of Old Gridania. And I realized there's a ton of dire mites there, or bane mites. I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, well, these guys don't drop them because only dire mites drop them. And then I kill one.
They increased the drop rate a ton.
Yeah, they did.
Retainers can farm them now.
Yeah, it's like, I kill one. It's like, oh, you get 9 dire mite webs. I'm like, from a bane mite? What the fuck? I was like, no wonder they're so cheap. These didn't drop. It was like 4 mobs in a different zone that did it. I mean, it makes sense because you don't want to have just like 4 creatures in one area dropping them at a shitty rate and then have everybody, you know, farm them, but it was just funny when I discovered that. It's like, okay, that's why they're so goddamn cheap. But I guess it's good because now I can finish making some stuff on my Weaver that I didn't make just for the XP because I didn't want to go through my Dew Thread. But yeah, I don't look forward to doing this whole gear crap and doing all that.
You're in the wrong game if you don't want to do gear.
It's not that I don't want to. I guess it's just, I mean, the fights aren't a big deal. Like, everybody in my link shell and free company, like, they'll help me with the fights. That's fine. It's just, for, like, the weapons. It's just trying to work up for the gear. If we did runs together all the time as a link shell free company, I wouldn't care. I don't mind. Like, when we did the last couple 8-man missions, it was primarily, one was, like, it was everybody from the free company. And then one, it was just like only 7 of us, and we had one random guy. Of course, we speed ran every one of them, so I just watched the cutscenes later because I didn't want to slow anyone down. But I don't want to do stuff with queue up into something where I haven't done it with people I don't know. I just, because no one ever talks, I feel like, when I do Duty Finder. Like, the first times I did it back when the game launched, and then later on, I felt like nobody ever really talked. It was just kind of like, right, let's go.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'd rather have people like, people I know, that way in case some mistake happens. Like, when we were speed running through the Rock the Castrum, and, you know, you're running on the, like, against the walls, but we run against the walls, the fucking camera gets all crazy on you, and we're trying to dodge stuff so we can just get through there, and I'm like, oh my god, I hope I don't get aggro by something, because I won't be that guy that accidentally chains a bunch of mobs. But, and then, fucking, there was some kind of update that happened before this game came out on PS4, where I didn't have this problem on PS3, but I have it on the PS4 now, and people are reporting that they noticed it after, like, a 4.1 or something. I don't know what. But there's a crossbar, the pet hotbar. In the game, it defaults to the middle of your screen, and I turned it off. I turned off all hotbars because I don't want them on the goddamn screen. I just want my crossbar. And I'm doing a daily, that one where you jump on the Drake and you have to go around and blow up the weapon caches or whatever. And he's considered a pet. So now there's a pet cross hotbar. in the middle of my goddamn screen. And I can't, like, I can obviously resize it and move it, but it won't go away even though I turn the option of it off. So then we're doing Rock the Castrum and we're all on Magitek armor. There's a fucking hotbar in the middle of my goddamn screen in the middle of the mission. Yeah, we're all like,
because you need it.
Because it's mandatory.
The,
you have to use it.
But it goes on my crossbar. It's the action is already on my crossbar. So now I have it in two locations. One I turned off. And that's what I don't understand. Like, if that was the only spot I can use it on, okay. But when you have it on my crossbar, once I get on it, it just creates a whole new crossbar for me. Don't put it on a hotbar. I don't need it in two spots.
Oh.
I actually didn't know it created a crossbar for you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm assuming it does it because you have a controller. Because I don't have a mouse plugged into my PS4. So when I do that, I have to use the virtual mouse or the touchpad to click on it. I was like, that's retarded. So when we're on the Magitek armor, I didn't really get to do any of the moves. I was too focused on the fact that I had this thing in the middle of my goddamn screen, so I didn't get to have that much fun on the Magitek armor blowing stuff up. But it's just
I honestly didn't know that it added the abilities to your crossbar.
Yeah, it just instantly creates, because you can't do any of your other abilities, any other thing you have on a crossbar, you can't do when you're on one of those pets or those mounts, essentially. So it just creates a brand new blank temporary crossbar, and it has a default to, I guess, controller-wise, would be R2. Oop, get out of here. R2 circle is the default location. And it's just, like I said, a temporary crossbar that goes away once you get off the mount. But it just, and everybody's reporting that it has this. Now, people on PC who use controllers, I think it's only a controller thing, but people on PC had this problem, but their pet hotbar option works. My pet hotbar option doesn't. So it's like, obviously it's only going to affect me when I don't run around as a, what's the job that has the fairies and stuff?
Scholar.
Yeah, scholar. I don't run as a scholar, so I don't have to worry about it. And, but it's like, if I do a daily, and the daily is me riding on that goddamn Drake, it's like, but, oh well.
Thanks, yes, I understand that this extra option has been added. You don't need to blink it in my face.
I'll just have to make it, like, the smallest size and just hide it behind my chat window. Get over there. But it was funny, like, when I went into the game, I had resized a bunch of my windows, because I was like, okay, well, now I have a higher resolution of the game, so I'm going to shrink some of these things down. But I didn't do it to my...
PS4?
Yeah, on PS4.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, 720 on PS3, 1080 on PS4. So now the resolution's bigger, so I have to change some sizes of some stuff. So I wanted to shrink things down, kind of move them around, especially because it doesn't remember what you did on the PS3 as far as locations for stuff and what sizes you had them at. But I didn't resize my party window because I hadn't been in a party in forever. So we did... like a party thing, and I thought, like, and it was huge. It was like 140% the window size, and I was like, oh, I gotta change this, and I totally forgot to change it. So then we did Rock the Castrum, and we had 8 people. It's just like the whole left of my screen is like taken up by this goddamn giant party list, and I'm like, oh, I gotta get rid of this. So of course I can't play with the camera close. I had to zoom the camera like way back so I could see everything that's going on, but it was pretty nuts. But yeah, I'm glad to be done with everything else and then just finish doing the relic weapon and then do all the mythos farming and all that junk.
Yeah, you've got all the fun stuff ahead of you still.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. I look forward to that.
Got extreme primals to look forward to.
Ooh, extreme!
Titan sucks!
I want to be there. I was just going to say, I want to be there the first time JCM does Titan Extreme.
Yeah.
You should come to the server.
But, yeah, maybe I will.
Yeah, we should drag him into Titan Extreme.
I'll get there.
Root is really easy, and then you get into Titan. He's like, ha ha, bye. I'll push you off now.
Yeah. All right, well, since we're winding down now, we need a secret word. What was it last time? Let me see here. Last time was Easter egg.
Oh, because of Easter.
Nah, just because, you know, random.
Just random word. We were talking about some Easter eggs or something. I don't know.
Forgot.
We need a...
Did you not get candy? How can you forget it's Easter?
Cadbury eggs, man.
Because I got candy, but I couldn't eat it because I was sick.
Oh, that's so sad.
Right? I have, like, this basket of candy just sitting at the end of my, like, dresser taunting me.
That's right. eat me, eat me. You can't, you're sick.
Eat the peeps, no, I'll puke.
Put toothpicks in them and put them in the microwave so they fight.
But, well, what? I know you put them in the microwave and they explode, but the toothpicks?
Yeah, it's because then they puff up and they look like they're trying to stab each other. Anyway.
Wow.
Jousting peeps.
I saw someone who put a peep into a vacuum, like a airtight vacuum thing, and sucked out all the air, and like the peep expanded to a pretty large size because, you know, all the the air molecules in it. But when they put the air back in it, it just like shrunk down and looked all crushed.
Completely deflated and imploded.
It's like, that doesn't look good at all. But anyways, secret word. We need one. What are we going to do?
Quick, Sia, look on your desk and find something.
Beeps. No.
My desk is covered in soda cans and Sailor Moon toys right now, so...
That'll be it. Soda can and Sailor Moon toys.
No. Why is it covered in soda cans and Sailor Moon toys?
Because I haven't cleaned my desk off, and I bought a whole bunch of stuff at this comic shop I went to the other day. They have these little, like, Sailor Moon, like, blind boxes for the 20th anniversary, and they come with little different characters. But they're, like, they come in pieces, and you have to assemble them, so I was, like, mix and matching my Sailor Scouts.
Oh, God, there's just so much that's wrong with that.
I was bored, okay? I didn't feel good.
I'm picturing, like, you as a mad scientist sitting at your desk, like, pulling apart Sailor figurines and reassembling them.
Yikes. Like she's Sid from Toy Story.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
It's creepy.
Well, they all have the same outfit. They're just different colors. So it's like one's orange and green and one's blue and red. And...
Right,
we'll it's fine. It's not as weird as it sounds. They look fine.
Sailor Moon. That'll be the secret word. And the next time it'll be Tuxedo Mask. No, but all right.
Or Sid.
There you go. Sailor Moon. Secret word, Sailor Moon. All right. Well, there we go. All righty. Well, I guess that'll wrap us up. Yeah, went on for about an hour. All righty. Well, thank you, Izzy, and thank you, Zaya. I guess thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next time.
Bye.
Later.